Good morning. What do these numbers mean? 2022. What, another day? Just another day. All right, would you stand with me and have a good attitude this morning and just say to your neighbor, I love you, God loves you, you're looking good, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Happy New Year. God bless you. Okay, great. Pastor Niazi, so good. Are you here tonight, Pastor Niazi? Okay, could you share a word tonight? Thank you. Be good. Turn in your Bible. Well, how about the messages in the last weeks? Have they been edifying us and encouraging us? And today we have love. Our theme is love. God loves us. We're going to turn to Jeremiah chapter 2 while you're standing up, because I think some of you are lacking in your exercises and you need to keep moving. All right, so standing, thanks for that. Praise the Lord. Respecting God and His Word. Okay. Lord Jesus, we need a fresh revelation of your love for us. We need to know how much you love us and be persuaded of it, convinced of it. The people on the street amongst us need it. Yeah, they need to know you, need to know your love. As we do, and we do, and we walk with you. Bless our church this year, our children. Honor your mother and father. Wow, what a commandment. Honor your mother and father. Our children need to learn that and obey it and believe it. And we also need to be persuaded of your love for us. Bless these thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Jeremiah chapter 2. I was reading the book of Deuteronomy. Actually, it's becoming one of my favorite books, the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book of Moses. And I read the word love. I counted them last night. How many times does it say love the Lord, and also God loving his people? And it's a beautiful meditation, the love, the gentle love, the care, the incredible patience of God with people. How heartbroken he is. I was in Western Maryland recently, and I met a man on the street. I gave him a track, and we talked, and during the short talk, he started weeping, and he said that he had thought of taking his life that morning, and that he felt God had sent me to him to share, to talk to him. And it touched my heart. He's in my mind today. This was some days ago. People, we have a shattered people in our amongst us. We have people hurt. Sometimes I hear the phrase "life is hard." I hear that phrase "life is hard." I don't understand how I have lived my life. I don't think there's any way, but I know God. I'm not very smart, but I've got God. I don't always know what I'm doing, and I make stupid mistakes, but I've got God. He loves me. He covers you. He loves you. He forgives you. He does not deal with you according to your sin. Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4. By the way, I do think children need to honor their mother and father. The Bible says so, but that sounds like, I don't know who's talking about it. Honor your mother and father. Tell your children, honor your mother and father. I don't know who's talking about it today. Who's talking about God and honoring God? Who's talking about obeying God, seeking God, finding God? Who's talking about it? It should be everywhere. It should be in the school. It should be at the university. It should be in the church. It should be at the health club. It should be in every family. It should be written on the wall. It should be everywhere. But it's strange, it isn't. It isn't. But it's important. Children, honor your mother and father. You may not obey them, but you should honor them. You may be confused and hurt. You may be rebellious and angry, but always land in the place where you honor your mother and your father. Isn't that amazing? So God says, what does it mean? Well, it really has a lot to do with God. And so when Christ came into the world, he is called Father in Isaiah chapter 9. One of his names is Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, our Father, who teaches us and loves us. So we have a text here. I think it's fun because it has not only the content of the message, but a lot of graphic expressions in chapter 2 in verse, we could start from verse 21. Yet I had planted thee a noble vine, Jeremiah 2, 21, holy a right seed. How then art you turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? So these are the Jews that have become something different from what the Lord planted. Verse 22, for though thou wash thee with nitre, this is in acid, and take thee much soap, that's a base, you're the chemists here, you take these detergents, strong washing, they can cut through grease and dirt, and though you take this and much soap, yet your iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God, because in your heart you sought other gods. Verse 23, how can you say, I am not polluted, I have not gone after Balaam? See your way in the valley, know what you have done. You are a swift dromedary, that's a camel, traversing her ways. A swift camel moving through in the Middle East, you could imagine it, very strong animal, determined and capable animal, traveling long distances. And he says, you are like this. You are like this animal that's going on your way. I think of us in our country and how easy it is to get addicted to ways of life and become very strong in those ways of life. I think people get addicted in their communication, in their attitude about themselves, in their self-image, even in their hatred. They get determined and strong in their hatred. They get also settled in their worry, their anxiety, or their fear. It's so easy to get established in a pattern. Now, we have a camel that is illustrating this, and you can't really turn her. That's the idea. But he goes to now another animal, and this is 34, a wild ass used to the wilderness. Now, these are, you know, Czech acetique, right, with the wild ponies. Well, you can have animals that are domesticated, but they also can go more wild, like horses can be wild horses. An ass, a donkey, an ass can be wild. Now, in the time of her heat or the time for mating, she is wild and very determined, and you cannot, you could not control this animal. This is verse 20, 24. A wild ass used to the wilderness that snuffs up the wind at her pleasure. In her occasion, who can turn her away? That's when she's ready to mate. How could you control this animal? Well, what is God talking about but his people who have turned away from him, and they have developed in their strength in this way of idolatry? That's a word that sometimes we get lost when we say idolatry. But be patient with that word. It's in all of us. It's when we replace God with ourselves, with our life, maybe even with our disappointments, maybe even with our pain. We replace God maybe with people. We replace God with our self-life. How about a child? Honor your mother and father. What does that do for the child? It protects the child. Honor your mother and father is a way of protecting the child. For the child to grow up being submitted to the right thing, to having an attitude of submission and humility to somebody who's older than me and knows more than me, and hopefully somebody that cares about me, and usually parents do. But Israel has departed. Now go to the verse. It says, all they that seek her will not weary themselves. In her month they shall find her. Verse 25, withhold your foot. I think you understand that in her month, maybe that's when the gestation period, when she is going to give the birth, you will find her. The wild animal will be changed. I mean, you will find her. This is just, you know, not that critical of an issue in explaining that, but I just want you to learn to read your Bible and ask questions when you read your Bible and learn from your Bible. It's fantastic. Verse 25, withhold your foot from being unshod and your throat from thirst. But you said, there is no hope. No, for I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. I think of an old man. He is 80 years old. He's going to die. And you ask him to receive Christ, and he said, no, all my life I have not believed in God, and I'm not going to now. I'm not going to change now. All my life I have never been a believer. I'm not going to be a believer now. This is what people can say. They have followed away, and they have not. They have decided. This is that the degenerate plant, the camel that is moving, the wild ass that you cannot control. And there are people that are in a lot of trouble today. But they will say, there is no hope for me. There is no hope. No, there is. There is God. There is God, and He loves you. He loves everyone in the world, if you could meditate on that for a second. God loves every human being in the world today. Everyone, He loves them. Every one of them. If they are alive, He loves them. He loves every one of them. He sees this, and He cries out to them. Let's read it. Verse 25, part B, for there I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. As a thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets. I wonder if that's happening in America. Like a thief is ashamed when he's caught. He is caught red-handed and he's ashamed. If so, when we follow after other gods and we lie down in sorrow and we are hurt, we say there is no hope, I've been caught, then I am hurt. I am saying, what happened? What happened to me? What happened to me? And God is saying, I love you. I am God. But you will not come to me. You will not come to me. I wonder about that a lot. You will not come to me. You and I have a benefit because we have found Jesus. We have found Jesus. We have found the Holy Spirit. We have found peace. We have found God. We have literally built a life on God. How did you do it? Somebody could say to you as a blessed man, how did you do it? How did you do it? Not that we don't have our trouble, but we don't have that kind of trouble where we are caught and ashamed, or we lie down in sorrow, or we say there is no hope. There is no hope. There is no hope because you have not sought the living God. Your gods are your lovers. You cannot find them. Your lovers have forsaken you. Your lovers are not good to you. They abuse you. Your lovers let you down. Your way of life is wrong. You're wrong. Your way of life is wrong. Yeah, but you are so smart. You're so talented. You're so capable. You're so rich. You're so powerful, but you are so sad. You are so empty. You are so selfish. You've been caught. Go to the next verse, please. 27. Saying to a stock, that's a block of wood. You say to a block of wood. That's what it is. A stock is a piece of a log that they carve an image out of as a god. And you say to that block of wood, you are my father, and to you, to a stone, you brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. But where are your gods, verse 28, that you have made? Let them arise if they can save you in the time of your trouble. For according to the number of your cities are thy gods, O Judah. The message is maybe about serious this morning, but I would love for us to grab a hold of what we're saying here today and to realize what God has done for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We continue to be amazed at that. It's at the very heart of our lives. We say it every day, and we think about it. God, I can't see your Son, but your Son acts upon me. He prays for me. Your Son upholds us. Your Son will never leave us or forsake us. Your Son shed his blood to take my sin away and for us to live without the consciousness of sin. He is the key to our joy. Our fire, our spiritual life, our orientation, our submission. We're not like a wild animal going her way that you cannot control, but we are a humble people. We are sheep that are submitted to the shepherd, and we hear his voice, and he says to us that we will not lack. I will not lack what? His love. He will always love you. Always. He has joy in his presence. He is the fullness of joy. He has peace. He has peace that keeps our minds. Have you noticed that we have a mental health problem in our country? The minds of people, they are suffering. They have more anxiety. They take more medication. There are more suicides. There is more depression. There is more trouble in marriages. I've heard of the COVID divorces. I've heard of that there's a rise in divorce because COVID has caught people in the same house for long periods of time, and they have a very hard time living together. Of course we do. God's our mind. The Bible says the devil has blinded the mind to believe in Christ. Like that man worshiping the idols, and then he says there is no hope. He has come to the end. His mind is blinded. He doesn't realize. His ears aren't open. His heart hasn't been touched. The Spirit hasn't filled him. The name of Christ hasn't kind of resonated in his spirit and worshiped the living Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world. And he is all I need. He is all I need. So therefore, we will say that, behold, the Lord is my helper. He is the one that satisfies us with all that we need. Philippians 4:19 and Hebrews 13:5-6. So this is a chapter where God is crying out to America, I think, to Israel, Judah. Jeremiah is the prophet. But he would be saying the same thing to us today. He would say, come to me. Jesus says, come to me, learn of me. I am not like the others. I am meek and lowly. Learn of me. I am talking. I am the talking God, the serving God, the giving God. Learn of me. Come to me and trust in me. Let's read the last part there. It says, "28. But where are your gods that you have made? Let them arise, if they can save you in the time of trouble. For according to the number of thy cities, we read that. Verse 29. Wherefore will you plead with me? You all have transgressed against me, saith the Lord." Have you ever talked with somebody there for a long time, but you realize you haven't gotten to the real heart of the problem, that we're talking all around things, but you're not listening to what God has to say to you? This happened with Job. It's a very typical thing with us. We are so filled with ourselves and our things, we can talk all day, but you will not come to me. This is what God is saying. Leave your things at the door. and put it down. If submit yourself, be broken before God and ask him to open your ears. For Jesus said, it will be given unto you according to how you hear. And if you hear, you will hear more. And if you hear that, you will hear more of what God has to say to you. As you hear from God, you sit like Mary was sitting and listening in Luke 10:38-41. And you receive the word of God is quick, powerful, living, sharp, piercing. It goes deep in our spirit, comes alive. We begin to hear. Then we start to read the Bible, not with ourselves, but we start to listen to something. I got to say one thing about a Greek thing. I want to finish in a few minutes, but I want to show you something. Usually in language, I act. Then the other possibility is there is action that happens on me. Action on me. This is usually how it goes. I am doing something or I am acting or there's an action on a thing. And then there is the other one. A thing is acting on me. But there's a thing in the Greek language called the middle voice. And it's a third possibility. And it is when what this thing and the action is acting on me. So when I am acting on it, but it is also acting on me. I am acting on it, but it's also acting on me. It's kind of like me and my wife. With my wife, in my relationship with my wife, it's kind of like I am having an effect on her, but she's having an effect on me. I am loving her. She is responding to me. Like we are, there's a third thing here. It's like a fellowship. It's a union. It's called, in the Greek language, it's called a middle voice. This one is called an active voice. This is called a passive voice. But this is a unique thing in the Greek language. It's like a fellowship, and listen, it has a lot to do with us and God. God is acting on us. We are acting on God. But there's actually something more, and it is we are together acting, living. He's affecting me, and I am affecting God. I am affecting God. I am, bless the Lord, O my soul. I can bless the Lord. I act on God. I can love God. It affects him. And he affects me. And he works on me. He is loving me, and I am loving him. Isn't that amazing? What does this mean? Prayer. Some ideas are, I am praying now, you know. The action is, I pray, you know. Another idea is the gods are working on me. The gods are answering my prayer. But this is different. This is prayer. It's groaning. It's a fellowship. It's a mystery. It's love. It's oneness. It's Jesus Christ and the Father are one, and the believer is one with Christ as he is one with the Father. And there's a dynamic effect that is happening. That is, listen, this is the last, it is satisfying. It is satisfying. It is satisfying. That's what it is. It's satisfying. I am filled. I am satisfied. Jesus is here. He has met our needs. He has visited us. He is the living God. And God is heartbroken because he's saying, my people. Are you kidding me? You're leaving the living God for a block of wood that can do nothing for you, but leave you high and dry and empty? And to the dear people of the United States of America and around the world and for all time, would God be crying out to us, what more could I do for you? I gave you my son. What you need is that relationship with him. And if you are receiving from him, he will be acting on you. You will be acting on him. And you will find yourself satisfied in the mystery of a fellowship. So that's it. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, this church and all the precious churches through the country and all the precious believers through the world, we have something to say. Help us open our mouths and say it. Help us to minister. Just as we walk on the street or sit in our house or pick up the phone, help us to minister. Minister your love. Help us to love our own, our families, our friends, and our sisters and brothers. Help us, Lord, in our community and our prayers and our care, and for the elderly that live maybe in our neighborhoods so might be shut in and troubled. And open hearts, Lord, open hearts. Also that we would learn to open our Bible and receive words from you. We want to hear from you, God. If we hear, we will hear, and if we hear more, more will be given. And we will find ourselves satisfied, not wandering, not looking for another bottle, not looking for another drug of some kind, not looking for a solution from human beings that may be called experts, but maybe they're not. Maybe they bow to the stock of a tree. And maybe they themselves are struggling with depression or fear. We are your people. We are in your house. We are different. We have found the anointing as our teacher. We have found the Word of God as our food. We have found each other as inspirations of life and love. We have new friends. We have found a new life. We have found you. Bless these thoughts to our minds, Lord. And anyone listening who's not a believer, come to Jesus today. Come as you are. Believe in Jesus and put all your trust in him. Knock on that door. God will answer. Open up that door. Walk by down that narrow path. Go through that gate. Come to Christ by faith in him. And say, Jesus, save me. In his name we pray. Amen.